You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. It is Friday, the 30th of January, 2026 on the SBS On The Money podcast. Today, where the Australian share market fell despite opening stronger, the S&P ASX 200 down 0.7%, a turning point after reports of a certain person seen at the White House. We'll give you details in a few moments. But first, the market has a 67% chance the RBA will lift interest rates on Tuesday, following this week's stronger than expected inflation. But researchers at Canstar say banks have long been hiking fixed rates in anticipation anyway. So is it too late to fix your home loan if that's what you're looking at doing? For that and more, I spoke with Sally Tindall, head of research at Canstar. Sally, first of all, why do banks generally hike fixed rates outside of RBA decisions?
Yeah, fixed rates are so often the canary in the coal mine, because what the banks do when they price the fixed rate, they factor in what the cash rate, what variable mortgage rates will do in that fixed rate term, in addition to other market factors such as the cost of borrowing funds for the bank, the competition in this space. And what we're seeing right now is that banks, big and small, are walking away from competition in the fixed rates space. We've seen well over 50 lenders hiking at least one fixed rate since the last RBA decision, where Governor Bullock stood up and said cash rate hikes could be on the cards. And this mass exodus of fixed rates means that at right now, we've got just 8 lenders on the Canstar database offering at least one fixed rate that starts with a 4%. That is down significantly from late last year, when there was over 40 different lenders offering one fixed rate that started with a 4.
So given that, for those people holding a home loan, is it too late to fix their mortgage if the cash rate does indeed rise, as the market is expecting it to next week? And what should borrowers be aware if they do so?
Yeah, look, it's not too late to fix. However, if you like the idea of a fixed rate, it's really important to be shopping around and know that a fixed rate that starts with a 4 rather than a 5 or a 6, they're rapidly disappearing. They've got a target on their backs, and those fixed rates could be relegated to the history books by the end of next week if we do see a cash rate hike on Tuesday. Now, if you do have your eye on a fixed rate, you can potentially pay a lock fee to set that rate in stone before all the paperwork is done, but you often need to pay that rate lock fee. So it's really worth weighing up the pros and cons there. But also, when it comes to fixing your rate, it really depends on your priority and whether you're willing to shop around, potentially move to a lender that you've never heard of. Because a lot of people think, oh, I might fix, I'm going to beat the banks. But it's really important to look at the big picture, take a step back and understand the sometimes prickly terms and conditions that can come with fixing that's often don't come with variable rate loans. So for starters, if you're looking at a fixed rate, understand what the caps are on extra repayments within the fixed rate term. Fixed rates, they typically don't come with an offset account. There are a handful that do, but most don't. So if you like the idea of an offset, put that into your equation building, and then understand that there are potentially costly break fees if you want to get out early. So sit down and war game all the possibilities where you might potentially want to break your fixed rate. Understand what they are and what the likelihood of that happening. Now, one option for some people who like the idea of fixing, like the idea of locking in a competitive rate and knowing that it will stay that way for the fixed rate term, is to do a split loan. That's where you have part of your loan as a fixed rate and part on variable. And that can often give people everything they're looking for, a little bit of security in that fixed rate, but also the flexibility that a variable rate can bring, such as an offset account, unlimited extra repayments.
Okay. So how do you know if you do have a good rate, whether that be fixed or a good variable rate?
Today. Not on Tuesday, but today. Go and find out what your mortgage rate currently is. Understand whether it's fixed or variable. And if it's variable, know that the average owner-occupier, that someone that lives in the home that they own, they are on an average variable rate of 5.52%. Now you hold your mortgage rate up against that benchmark, but know for that benchmark, you want to be well below that. You want to be below average when it comes to rates, not above average. So for a stretch target for variable on the Canstar database, there is 43 different lenders offering at least one variable rate under the 5.25% mark. That's a great stretch target to set your sights on, particularly if you're an owner-occupier with a good track record of paying down your debt. Now, a competitive fixed rate will also be around this level, but we do have eight lenders on the Canstar database still offering a fixed rate that starts with a four.
You said earlier that lenders are walking away from competition in fixed rates, right? So how willing are banks at the moment to offer good deals?
Look, they might be walking away from competition in the fixed space, but in the variable arena, it is still red hot. And the reason for that is that people are continuing to refinance in droves. The latest ABS data that we have shows that $66 billion worth of loans, $66 billion refinanced in the last 3 months of data that we have. That is a record high. And you know what that elevated refinancing activity does? It puts heat on the banks, because banks love stealing customers from their competitors, but they also really hate losing customers to a competitor. So they are willing to negotiate, particularly when it comes to variable, if you're a new customer or an existing customer threatening to leave.
And so finally, if the banks are starting to lift fixed rates ahead of the RBA decision, are they also lifting savings rates?
Yeah, term deposits are often an early indicator of changing rate expectations, and we are seeing an increasing flurry of term deposit rates going north rather than south. So that's good news for anyone that likes the idea of locking in some certainty when it comes to savings rates. We haven't seen many savings rates, those at-call savings accounts, move recently. I do know NAB moved at the start of this year, but we haven't seen mass movement there yet. We would expect, after a cash rate hike, if one comes on Tuesday, to see savings rates start to go up. And if banks passed on that 0.25 percentage point increase, which we are expecting on Tuesday, if banks pass that on in full to their savings rates, we would see five different banks potentially offer savings rates, ongoing savings rates that start with a five instead of a four or a three. But what we know from history is that when it comes to rate hikes, banks start to pick and choose which savings accounts get a boost and which miss out. And sometimes it's a matter that the bonus rate gets a boost, but the base rate, the ongoing rate, doesn't get that boost. And so if you don't meet the bank's fiddly terms and conditions, you might not see that rate hike in your savings account. So keep an eye on your savings rate. A good benchmark here is a savings rate that starts with a four, ideally 4.25, 4.5, 4.75. They're all good competitive rates, but keep an eye on what your bank does after a rate hike. Make sure it passes on that hike to you in full onto your savings account.
That's Sally Tindall there from Canstar. Let's take a look at the Australian share market now. The S&P ASX 200 down by 0.7%, its worst one-day fall in about 2 weeks, 8,869. Six of the 11 sectors ended higher, which means five fell, the worst performer by far, materials. So it was actually a bit of a sell-off in the space, particularly in gold and silver and iron ore. Information technology also down. The best performers include healthcare and consumer staples. Of the best and worst performing stocks, the worst performer, ORA Banda, Genesis Minerals, Silex Systems all down. The best performers included IDP Education, Nine Entertainment Group. Shares up by 5% there. It has sold its radio businesses and has purchased an outdoor advertising company as it seeks to expand its digital growth businesses. Flight Centre also rising today by 3.7% and ResMed up by 3%. Now, the ASX did turn negative after opening strongly in the morning after reports emerged about a potential US Fed Reserve Chair candidate, Kevin Warsh, who was seen at the White House, and he's being seen by the market as less likely to cut interest rates, even as he advocated for them. So for more on this and the moves of the day's action on the share market, including opportunities for investors, I spoke with Diane College from Morgans. So, Diane, the ASX is on track for its biggest monthly gain since August, led by energy stocks. Why do you think that is when we're seeing so much global uncertainty still?
Interesting question, Ricardo. How are you? I think that basically we've seen a fantastic start to the year from a lot of the global markets, including ourselves. And the majority of that, even though we have seen this global uncertainty, is because of the global uncertainty. So we've had a lot of big moves in the underlying commodities, which I'm sure you've referred back to throughout January. And we've seen gold, silver, copper, palladium, lithium, oil, all had significant rises. And a lot of our stocks are associated with that, which has therefore created a lot of growth in the Australian market. That, interestingly, has unwound in the last hour of today's trade. So we've seen significant falls in those commodities I've just mentioned. Even gold has had a $400 trading range in US dollars, and it's now down $195, or around 3%. We've also seen silver down 5%, copper's down 4%. Big stocks such as Newmont and Ramelius are all down 8%. And even BHP has had a significant trading range today, where it was up around the $52 mark, is now trading just above 50. So when you put that into context, we've seen the market that was up this morning on track, as you say, for a very solid gain for January, now down in negative territory.
Any idea of what could have triggered it, or is it a bit of profit taking after a huge run-up?
Again, I think earlier on in the week, we saw a bit of a rotation out of banks, healthcare and industrials into these resources because people or investors were trying to gain access to the significant gains that they've actually produced. And now, even today, if you have a look at the market sectors, we've seen the banks are all positive this afternoon. Healthcare is also quite strong. And yet all the material stocks and energy stocks have actually fallen back.
I guess it's also the end of the month too, so there may be a bit of that.
Yes. Okay. The technical term for that is called window dressing.
Some interesting news. Donald Trump overnight said he'll finally make his pick for the Federal Reserve Governor tomorrow. This person will replace Jerome Powell in May. We know that Trump's been pressuring the Fed to cut interest rates and even launched a criminal investigation into Powell. Do we have any idea of who is in contention and just how important this pick will be and why?
Great question. So interestingly, it's up to two Kevins. So Kevin Hassett and also Kevin Walsh. At the moment, the Bloomberg alert has been that Kevin Walsh is going to be the key pick from Trump. Interestingly, they have both been significant players in US economic history of recent times. So Kevin Hassett, if we go through his bio, if you like, he was the executive director of the Economic Council, or the chairman of the Economic Council during the first Trump administration. He's also been very good for economic conditioning and has an extensive knowledge of that area, whereas Kevin Walsh has actually been on the Federal Reserve Board previously. And he was there during the term of Ben Bernanke and the GFC. So when we look at experience, you can see that Kevin Walsh probably is a bit of a standout compared to Kevin Hassett with regard to dealing with economic situations and being quite relevant to interest rate decisions as he's been on the board previously.
What about here? The Reserve Bank meets for the first time this year next week. To what extent is the market pricing in an interest rate rise following those stronger than expected inflation figures earlier this week?
The market is definitely factoring that in. And I think you saw when those inflation numbers came out that the relative sectors of the market that are impacted by interest rates, such as the consumer discretionary, the REITs, which are the real estate investment trusts, infrastructure stocks, anything that's related to high debt, even the tech stocks in our market took a bit of a hit after those numbers, because there is that expectations that, you know, we will see an interest rate rise. If it's not this meeting, it could definitely be the next meeting. So that will in turn have an impact on the market. You've already seen it with the dollar as well, trading around that 70 cent mark. It's definitely reflective of the fact that if we get, you know, stronger interest rates, that's going to be a direct correlation to the US, where they're still looking at rate cuts.
And just finally, reporting season here will start soon. In the US right now, we're seeing a lot of focus on those tech stocks to see whether or not that huge investment in AI will pay off. What do you think will be the key themes here?
Well, we've done a lot of work with regard to preparing for the reporting season for our clients. We are expecting some very strong EPS numbers out of the listed companies that we follow. We're sort of forecasting the ASX 200 to deliver around 8.8% EPS growth. And that's the strongest growth that we've seen since FY22. So, you know, and it's not specific to certain stocks or certain sectors. It is quite, you know, across the board. We're expecting to see the materials sector to see an increase of around 19%, consumer staples up around 11.9%, and healthcare up around 15% with respect to EPS growth share, per share. We are also seeing that we have some key picks, which I'll allude to later, but we're also looking at the fact that there are a lot of short positions in the market at the moment, and that could see result day produce some very elevated reactions to share prices, of share price reactions to the results. If we do have that extended short positions, and if it's an inline result or a better than feared result, those shorts need to cover their positions, which means that you could see quite significant fluctuations in the share price on result day. We, as a house, have a number of key picks, and they are from different sectors of the market. So we're quite diverse when we look at that. And we're thinking around where we can see good solid growth numbers from either store rollouts or they're connected to commodities, which therefore are increasing revenue. And we're looking at stocks such as Lovisa, which is a fast-paced jewellery store, Monadelphous, which is a mining services business, Sigma Pharmaceuticals, we like because it's a new entrant to the market. We think it's going to do really well from a store rollout perspective and expansion strategy. We also like Gem Life, which is the retirement village type community-based development company, and also NextDC. We think that should do quite well as well because they're expanding offshore. On the negative side, we think that Suncorp could have a few issues with regard to the natural disasters and any type of claim, increased claim activity around that. And we also think that the banks, even though they're not in this reporting cycle, they do actually release their quarterly updates within the period of February. So we're going to watch out for that as well.
That's Jan College there from Morgans, and she wraps up the podcast for this Friday and for this week. Give it a follow and subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify if you enjoy it. And I'll see you next week.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.